Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And as we just spend some time reflecting, we pray that by your Spirit you would come. Give us understanding and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew, you picked two great passages. I would love to have preached on both of them, but you want to get home tonight, so I'll stick with, if I may, just going to the Joshua passage. That's Joshua chapter 24, if you want to have it in front of you. Because there can be few more stirring passages in the whole of Scripture than this one. Joshua staking out the way ahead by declaring very firmly, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the inspired response of the people, "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Oh, it was a night of such faith in that place. You could feel it. Joshua goes on to challenge them, clearly recognizing their weak wills and their capacity for failing to live up to the promises that they make. But the people are insistent. "We will serve the Lord." And so Joshua says, "Okay, you promised," and tells them to throw out the foreign gods amongst them and to be wholehearted for God. And he does three things because he knows how easily they forget. Firstly, he makes a covenant, a promise between the people and God, and writes it in the book of the law so that it's properly recorded as a legal document. They're not going to get out of this one. And then secondly, he takes a large stone and places it prominently to remind them of the promise that they made that day, that it will stand to remind them every day of the promise that they made, of that covenant between them and God. And then finally, he sends them off to go back to their homes to live out what they've promised. Well, we haven't got a book. Well, I suppose we have written it in the service book, haven't we? That tonight, Matthew is inducted as vicar of Poynton. Perhaps we should have set a large stone in the middle of the aisle just so that you could never forget all about this night. Well, you'd need a faculty for that, so we're not going to go through that process. But we will send you off to your homes at the end of this service, each of you with the challenge. And I hope that perhaps you might look back and remember Joshua. What a man. There really isn't anyone quite like Joshua in the whole of Scripture. Most of the heroes of faith are recorded, warts and all. But Joshua, well, he was just all for God. There don't seem to have been any warts on Joshua. His faith was always wholehearted, transparent, and authentic. He was the real deal. An inspiration in a way that probably no other biblical character other than Jesus really was. And here he is as an old man with the promised land taken, the nation established, and he calls everyone together at Shechem to give him his last words. And last words are always important from great leaders. And the effect of those words and the effect of his whole life was lasting. Even after his death, the people held faithful to the vow that they'd made. It says so here in verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. Now, okay, we all know it went slightly awry a bit further down the line. But the commitment that night was absolute. Few leaders still have that lasting effect after their death, but the respect, the love that Joshua provoked made an impact on all who met him. And that's true of all great leaders. So let me give you five leadership lessons, Matthew, that I take from Joshua. I think firstly, there's a key one here, that he was a man who had dealt with disappointment and pain in a way that would take him and others closer to God. All things work for good. We know that verse from Romans. But that was Joshua's life promise, long before it was St. Paul's. He'd stood at the threshold of the promised land before, and he was ready to go forward, if you remember the story, but was outvoted by those who were fearful. And for 40 years, he carried that disappointment. He carried the disappointment around in the desert. But it seems to have made him stronger. And that's the way, as we deal with disappointment, as we have moments of pain in our lives, how do we deal with them? It's part not just of the Christian life, but anybody's life. It can't be avoided, but it can be embraced. And we can make sure we don't let it defeat us. James wrote, "My brothers and sister, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of faith, of your faith, produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Joshua would say, don't be afraid of the desert moments. Make friends with your own disappointments and pain. Because if you don't, you'll just pass it on to others. And if you're a leader in the church, Matthew, there will be moments of disappointment as vicar of Poynton. I know that seems hard to believe. But there will be moments when you're thinking, do I really want to be here? Well, God has called you here. Don't let any disappointments affect you. Hurt people, whilst healed people, heal people. Joshua dealt with his disappointment and left it in the desert so that he could serve God and bring healing to the whole nation. And Matthew, I pray that the next few years are just one long string of success for you. But there will be disappointments, but don't let them dictate who you are, or what you are, or where you're going. God has called you to lead. The second thing about Joshua that inspired, I think, is his character. You see it clearly in this amazing last speech to the people. He walked the walk of faith. People followed him because his character inspired confidence, and they believed in him. We are people who have been chosen by God. We're people who've been chosen by God. We've got every right to have confidence that he is at work in us and through us. Joshua knew that, felt that, lived that. He was a character that built others up, made them believe in themselves. And with such confidence, anything was possible, because he believed himself to have been called to lead. Well, Matthew, I'm telling you now, God has called you to lead, and he is faithful. Live for him and lead for him here. The third thing about Joshua is that he never lost the sense of being homesick. And by that, I mean he knew where home was. It was the promised land. And all those years in the desert, he never took his eyes off the promise. Never forgot that this was just a long march home. Well, we live in a world that has sadly lost its sense of direction. Too many wander around the desert of their own lives, seeing a mirage of what life is supposed to be like, and just getting more and more lost. But Jesus promises abundant life. And so he needs people who know their way home to help others find their way home. The people answered Joshua, "We will worship God What he says we will do, well, his call is to make disciples of all nations. Your call, all of you, is to help them find their way home. And the fourth thing about Joshua was his vision. You see, he saw beyond what is to what might be. And then he captured the people's hearts by helping them to understand that vision clearly. Any vision needs to be a shared vision. And I hope as the years unfold with Matthew, you will all, with Matthew, begin to explore what vision is all about for St. George and St. Martin's. To give you a clear way to achieve the goal that God puts on your hearts. And the final thing about Joshua that I want to talk about is perhaps just, well, perhaps it's just for Matthew, this one. You see, Joshua shaped his life as a servant. He served the people. He led them, yes, but as a servant. And just as Jesus was the servant of all, washing his disciples' feet, one who made himself nothing and took the nature of a servant. So Joshua never told the people what to do. Instead, as here, he laid out the options and said, well, look, you choose. Tonight, you choose which way to live your lives. And it seems to me that's something of greatness in a leader. All anyone can ever do as a servant leader is put before people the options. And the fact is that too often people choose darkness rather than light. But we lay the light before them and hope that that light will be a light they can follow. Which makes me turn to all of you. You see, Matthew will make his own promises tonight before God. And in a sense, by putting that reading on, what he has said, as for me and my household, I'm sorry about this, Kate, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That challenge comes straight out of the book of Joshua. But he turns and says, choose for yourselves, all you who are here in church tonight, all you who are watching on the live stream, choose for yourselves. Whom will you serve? That's the question. Whom will you serve? Well, I hope and pray you can answer with the people of Israel that night. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Can you say that? I hope you can. I pray that with Matthew you will walk together into the place that God has prepared for you as you continue your journey home into that place God has prepared for you. And that together you will lead others on their journey home. May God bless you all. And Matthew, Kate, may God bless you as you lead the people here. As you share the ministry of God in this place, may you know his presence and his blessing upon all the work of your hands. Amen.